Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the temple. So today is the 9th May 2024, Thursday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, Unique Dhammakut, Straight from the Heart. We are at Dhammakut 111. We finish Dhammakut 110. So as usual, let us gather. Then we will have our physical puja. Let us now compose our mind, develop our faith, Sattva Virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Kwan Sri Pusa. Namo Kwan Sri Pusa. Namo Kwan Sri Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ abhivādhemi. Swagato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatthipanno bhagavato sakkhasangho sanghang namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sangham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi buddham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammam saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi sangham saranam gacchami. Anatipata Vairamanisikapadam Samadhiyami. Adinadana Vairamanisikapadam Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Musawada Viramani Sikapada Samadhiyami Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikapada Samadhiyami. Okay, you all can be seated. Now turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall continue our chanting from Padipa Puja onwards. Padipa Puja. Gana-sarabha-dittena Dittena-tamadhansina Tilokadipang-sambuddha Pujayami-tamonodang Gandha-sambara-yuttena Dukkhenaham sukham hina Pujaye pujaniyantam Puja bhajanamuttamam Vanna gandha guno peta एतां कुसुम सन्तति पूजयामि मुनिदास श्रीपादा सरोरुहे पूजेमि बुधा कुसुमेन पुण्येन मुक्तेन च होतु मोक्षम् पूपां मिलायति यथा इदा मे कायो दत्तायति विशासभावान् आदिवासे तु नो भक्ते पानीयं हरिकापितम् आनुकम्पाम् उपादाय पाथिकं वातु मोत्तमम् आदिवासे तु नो भन्ते पाले परिकापितम् आनुकम्पाम् उपादाय पाथिकं हातु मोत्तमम् आदिवासे तु नो भन्ते भोजनं परिकापितम् आनुकम्पाम् उपादाय पाथिकं हातु मोत्तमम् Now we shall chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance there. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now pay respect to Tripajam. Bhutam Pujayami. Dhammam Pujayami. Sangham Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. As usual, just relax body and mind and maintain support and awareness. Then we shall off the light so that you all can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So always remember, the purpose of this awareness-based meditation is to help us develop the stability of inner awareness within us. when you are able to stay at the heart area with the awareness nature without thought, that is the stability of mindfulness or awareness that we need to realize. So there are four support to support you to develop this awareness within. The first three are most important. Relax body and mind. Whatever mind state arise, relax into it. Relax means at ease, no problem. Body and mind free of stress, free of problem. It's like a free mind without thought, without activity, just in the state of relax. Then after that, maintain awareness. Yeah, our mind must have something for us to do or hold on to. If you allow the mundane mind to manifest, then of course the thinking will arise and you will lose your ability to be aware. And you cannot stay with the awareness nature to be aware. Because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking, or you are without thought, fully aware to understand what is going on within the moment, within your own form and mind. So all these are the understanding that one will develop. So the second support is to maintain awareness. When you are able to relax without thought, then the only thing you need to do is maintain awareness. Means the awareness nature, which is just aware, you maintain the awareness. Means whatever arise from your sixth sense upon contact, the respective sense door consciousness, they will arise. Then because of your habitual thinking, habitual tendency, reaction and stirring, all your mundane activity or movement, sankhara activity, they will continue to arise. So our awareness-based meditation is to develop the understanding not to allow the sankhara activity to continue. That's why we maintain awareness. Whatever arise, away, finish. At any other sense door upon contact, whatever arise, away, finish. Don't allow it to continue to create thinking or proliferation of thought process. Then after that, the third support is stabilize this awareness nature. Means continue to maintain the awareness without thought for as long as you can. Whatever arise from whatever sense door activity, you just aware. You can maintain the awareness for a long period without thought, then the awareness nature will stabilize. Then all of your conscious thinking or mundane thinking, they will start to slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down, and they will require still. Then you will realize your true mind, your silent mind, the meditative mind before the thinking, the mental activity. So what we need to do is relax, maintain awareness to allow the mundane mind to return to its natural state before the thinking arise, before the stirring and reaction. Then for those who have the ability to stabilize the mindfulness or awareness within, then you can use it to cultivate, to meditate. Then you can move on to the fourth support after that. When you are able to stabilize the inner awareness, then you relax body and mind completely, silent everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Stay at the heart area and let the heart continue to detect whatever that arises. is the fourth support is trust your awareness nature within to develop the internal activity movement. Whatever the awareness wants to move to or detect anything, let it move naturally. Means no interference from your thought process, your mundane thinking, your views, opinion, and conditioning from your memory. Just allow it and let things be. It's silent everything. Okay, now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can continue your training of the awareness nature within. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you develop for as long as you can. Okay, now we turn to page 6 of the Chandra book. We will do the invocation to the Devas. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heavenly release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Atrahangacham to Devata Sadamang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhammasvanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasvanan kalo ayang padanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang padanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava Sammasambuddho Vijjacharanasampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Visadam Asarati Satta Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dittiko akkaliko ehipaseko oppanayiko pacatang veditabbo vinohiti suppatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Uyopatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samicipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidam chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkheneyo sanjaya
jali karaniyo anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati
Okay, here you can visit that. Then we'll continue from where we stop. We will to continue from the unique Dhamma code 111. We finished 110 last Thursday, so now it's unique Dhamma code 111. Turn to page 31 of this book, Straight from the Heart, Unique Dhamma Code by me. Okay, I'll read to you this unique code 111, 111. Right duty is right Dhamma. This one is very important. My teacher, Jayantra, used to share this with us, but he is a Thai, so he pronounced it as right Dhamma. Dhamma, they pronounce it as Dhamma. So right duty is right Dhamma or right Dhamma. So this right duty is very important. And as cultivator, the way we need to understand this very clearly. As I explain a bit more by describing why it's so important. I say we have a duty towards the nature's law that governs our life and existence, especially the law of karma. So this one is based on right view with regards to this nature's law, and the most powerful one is the law of karma. Then we should perform our these duties with right understanding, wholesomeness, and mindfulness. If you don't do it this way, then you will not stand a chance to awaken or to develop the understanding of the teaching. And I say, in this way, we can be ever mindful and constantly meditative, leading to heedfulness. Just when you can develop the right mindfulness to understand all the teaching and awaken, then you will have this right understanding behind. And with the right understanding or right view, you can develop a lot of wholesomeness. You can live by the Dhamma. And you can develop all the wholesomeness within the Noble Eightfold Path, Eight Path Practice. And this is what enlightened beings are, noble beings. And just now when we were doing our chanting, the invocation to the Devas, we started off by paying homage, salutation to the Buddha. Then after that, we chant the salutation to the Dhamma. So the salutation to the Dhamma is very important. Then after that, we chant the salutation to the, oh sorry, the first one is salutation to the Buddha. Then we chant the salutation to the Dhamma, followed by the salutation to the Sangha. The Sangha are the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. And under that salutation, when we start the chanting, it's clearly mentioned. Can you pin that page? Salutation to the Sangha there. The Buddha started by reciting Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sāvaka Sangho. That means the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they have four great qualities. The first one is of good conduct, followed by the second one, which is of upright conduct. Then the third one, of wise conduct. The fourth one, Samiji Patipanno Bhagavato Sarawaka Sangho. That one is of dutiful conduct. That's why they will have right duty towards all of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Not only the law of karma, also towards whatever nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the spiritual. The second aspect of the most important spiritual law is the law of mind, Dhamma. Sorry, Citta Niyama. The last one is law of truth or law of Dhamma, Dhamma Niyama. So all these three, they are the three of the five Pancha Niyamas, the universal order that governs life and existence. So now I will share with you the whiteboard. So unique code 111, the key understanding is right duty is right Dhamma equals right Dhamma. Here, the meaning is very deep. You must have this right duty as per the salutation to the Sangha. The fourth conduct, Samiji Patipanno Bhagavato Sarawaka Sangho. So of right duty are the enlightened disciples of the Buddha. So this right duty is duty towards the nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. That's how the Buddha, from his enlightenment, after he gained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, he realized this very important law, the law of karma, the moral causation. He said our mental intention behind all our actions, speech, and thought process constitute karma. That's why Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 comes from that right view. If you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, that is devoid of wisdom and understanding, then the mind will develop suffering because that is the heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So if you arise that suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the hoof of the cart. Then Dhammapada verse 2 is, if you understand the danger of being heedless, not keeping in accordance with the precepts, means you don't train your mind to develop mindfulness, heedfulness, and awareness to understand what is going on, then straighten your view and do your appropriate right duty towards that nature's law, which is law of karma, then suffering will arise. But once you understand that teaching, you have the right view, you will automatically understand why the Buddha's advice is such. The Buddha's advice under Dhammapada was verse 183 is very clear. He said, because of that right view with regards to the law of karma, you have to avoid all evil. And to do that, you have to keep your precept. That's how the five precept comes into being. The monk's precept comes into being. So keeping precept is the first advice of the Buddha to avoid major evils. Because you look at the five precept, only people who has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, they will violate them. So those who violate the precept, they commit major evil. That's why the law of karma will follow. And it will condition the respective negativity of karma. Just like the Buddha coined the moral causation, the intention has the evil result, greed, and hatred and delusion, then the resultant of it is suffering. Yeah. So all this understanding are very important. Yeah. Then after that, the second advice is to cultivate whatever wholesomeness or virtue that you have the condition to cultivate. So avoiding all evil by taking care of precept is the first advice. Then cultivate wholesomeness to develop your good virtue, good blessing, and good spiritual support is the second advice. Then the third advice is to purify your mind. Well, without doing that, you cannot develop wisdom and you don't know the right duty to actually bring about the good life. That's why all this, they are related, interconnected. So the teaching is related to life, interconnected to life. So when you understand all this, you will know why in the unique code I say right duty is right done. If you understand that there is a duty for you to perform, when I say you, means the living being, the fire aggregate of form and mind, that that one is subject to the law of karma. That one is dependent originating, condition arising, a phenomenon within our conditional. And this one is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why do not be deluded by it, deceived by it. Do not cling on to it, grasp onto it, and hold on to it. So this understanding is very important. So right duty is applied to this so-called human being, for our case, or living being. Whatever fire aggregate or form and mind that arise within the existential world, that one is subject to the law of karma. And because it's subject to the law of karma, this one has a right duty. You cannot simply do things. That's why if this one simply do things, then the chaotic world of within the phenomenal world of existence or consciousness, it will condition suffering. So all this, when you understand the Dhamma, become clear. So right duty is right Dhamma is very important. And when you know this, what must you do? You must perform your duty accordingly. We are following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil by keeping your precept and not to violate this nature's law, especially the law of karma. And the law of karma can be violated is because people don't understand how they function as a human being. The law of mind, citta niyama. So citta niyama, when you develop the right understanding, you know the paticca samuppada, the dwelling, then you are not deluded by it. Then you can arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action to live the noble life. That's how the teaching can be understood clearly. So once we understand this, we will know how to perform this right duty by following the advice of the Buddha. Yeah. And once you do that, you will avoid Dhammapada verse 1, follow Dhammapada verse 2, which is the most beautiful. So when you understand the danger of being heedless, then you will determine to be heedful, to train your mind, so that you will act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, with an upright mind that has the right view, right understanding, to arise the respective right thought, right speech, and right action to live life. So all these are related. Then Dhammapada verse 2 is the best. When you act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow you like your shadow that never leaves you. So, like I always say, your life, you decide how you want to live them, because each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny, to be happy or unhappy or to be miserable. It's entirely our choice. If we choose to be happy, we should be happy then. But why is it not happening in the world? Why is it there are so much suffering in our chaotic phenomenal world? It is because they don't have this understanding, this right understanding. And if they don't have this right understanding, they don't do their right duty. They don't have the condition to have the good life. That's why right duty is right Dhamma, means it will lead to the appropriate Dhamma way to live life. And through that, your life will become beautiful. Because when you do your duty correctly, then it will bring about the right Dhamma to condition the good life, the wonderful existence. Or what the Heart Sutra mentioned, when you realize this understanding, means you realize true emptiness. And when you have that realization of true emptiness, it leads to wonderful existence. Then existence or life become meaningful, beautiful, and wonderful. Then all this right duty, you must develop it with right understanding, wholesomeness, and mindfulness. So, to develop the cultivation, the practice, like the Buddha emphasized, you need sati, mindfulness. That's why you must train yourself to develop the stability of this mindfulness or awareness within, so that you can realize your true mind, the meditative silent mind, and use it to meditate, to arise the wisdom. Then with the wisdom, straighten your view and live life in accordance. That's why the whole of the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation will be set in motion once you understand that. So this unique code, when you understand, it becomes very beautiful and very meaningful. Now I will read the code again. Hopefully, if this explanation, you can develop clearer understanding. Right duty is right Dhamma. So this one now become more meaningful. Right? Then we have a duty towards this nature's law that governs life and existence, especially the law of karma. That's why I always say, when you take care of karma, karma can take care of your life. Because taking care of karma is to understand the law of karma and do not violate it. You know you have a duty towards this law. You cannot simply do things. You cannot remain heedless. You need to determine sincerely with the faith to actually cultivate heedfulness, especially mindfulness. Stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, means constantly meditative. Combining the two, you develop heedfulness. And according to Dhammapada verse 21, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, which means you are guaranteed enlightenment in the here and now. But if you don't do that, then the opposite will happen. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Means you don't have any chance as far as the spiritual cultivation or awakening is all about. Once you don't have the heedfulness developed, you don't stand a chance in understanding this teaching, to realize the Dhamma, to awaken to it. So all these are very clear. That's why I say here, under the unique code 111, we should perform our duty with right understanding, means right view regards to this law of karma. With wholesomeness means without negativity and mindfulness. In this way, we can never be lost. And we will be ever mindful, constantly meditative, leading to heedfulness. So as long as you are heedful, like the Buddha mentioned, you will be destined for enlightenment. Where heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die. And Dhammapada verse 23 also saying, the heedful will realize the supreme there is this word, supreme one really. Maybe I recite the whole verse easier. The constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. Is it the word? Is it enlightenment? Supreme one. Dhammapada verse 23. Sorry. Thank you. That word is born free. Supreme born free. Nibbana means the realization of the unconditioned. So that one points clearly towards the unconditioned realization. This is enlightenment in the here and the now. So we finish off with unique code 111. Anybody has any question or want to add anything to it or not? Before I move on to the next verse. Anybody? Anybody on the online? Nobody left? Okay, if that's the case, then we go on. We move on to unique code 112. I will read to you. Without yoniso manasikara, which is wisdom at the moment of sense experience, or I put in bracket here, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, one will continue to cause immediate stirring and reaction of one's mind born of habitual tendency. So this unique code is also very powerful, very important, because like I always explain, this yoniso manasikara, which is a wisdom at the moment of sense experience, you must develop it. And this wisdom can only be developed through the first, second, and third turning. So normally, this yoniso manasikara, you need the initial wisdom to start off the cultivation. So this yoniso manasikara, this Pali word, is very important. So yoniso means wisdom or wise attention. So manasikara is at the moment when the sense experience arises. So wisdom at the moment of sense experience is needed to counter all defilements that arise. Without this wisdom, initially we call it the initial wisdom. This one, you cannot develop as knowledge one, because the knowledge is not the wisdom. This one, you must develop the understanding of it. And once you understand, then it becomes wisdom at the moment of sense experience, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Based with the sixth sense door, as a human being, living being, we have the sixth sense door. We are capable of seeing through our seeing consciousness, hearing through our hearing consciousness, smell through our smell consciousness, and taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. All these six sendor, they will trigger the respective six sense consciousness. As per the physics experiment, upon contact, the light bulb light. So the lighting up of the light bulb is like make you conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So at the moment of consciousness, if you don't have wisdom, what happened to you? Huh? What happened to you? Huh? What happened to you? When you see something, you don't have manasikara, what happened to you? You will react, right? It will stir your mind, right? Because you cannot accept them for what they are. Due to what? Your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system that you have habitually accumulated, yeah, through your conditioning. So all this is what heedlessness is all about. When you are not mindful, not aware, not trained, you cannot see, you cannot understand, then you cannot develop the initial wisdom to cope with life. That's why you cannot understand life. You dare to do things. You dare to arise the negative or evil thought with the evil mental intention that has the evil result, greed, hatred, and delusion to actually bring about negativity of karma, to bring about all the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action that will condition your negative coming nature or coming future. So the fruition of it is what suffering is all about. So without this initial wisdom, you cannot live life, you cannot cope with life. But every moment of sense experience, you stir your mind, you react, and you perceive it with negativity. You don't have right perception. You don't have the direct seeing. You cannot see things as they are. And you cannot accept a lot of things that arise. Yeah. Then, due to your delusion, your conditioning, your belief system, the duality created by thought, you are always grasp, cling, and hold, positive and negative. That's why you will have your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. You continuously stir your mind and react to life. That's why there is a lot of ignorance within humanity. Yeah. And due to ignorance, they entangle themselves with life. They cannot understand. So they keep on blaming people. Sometimes they blame God too. Why is God so unfair? Why is life so unfair? Then they look at other people. How come they are born with a silver spoon, so blessed? How come my parents are like that? Yeah, all these are the questions born of delusion, avijja, that don't understand. Like the Buddha say, things are just the way they are. Condition like that, things will like that. That's why he has the famous five daily contemplation, the last one. He said, as living being, especially human being, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if you understand that karma plays such a big role in your life, what must you do? Huh? What must you do? You must take care of karma. How to take care? Again, follow the advice of the Buddha. And the first advice is to avoid all evil so that you don't violate this nature's law. So that you take care of karma. And how to avoid all evil? You must keep the precept. We are violating the precept, the minimum five precepts. constitute major karma, constitute major violation of the nature's law. So all this points towards the importance of having this right view, right understanding, which is the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. And from there, you start your cultivation, your practice. And then how do you cultivate wholesomeness? How do you develop blessing, virtue, and all those things? You have to follow Noble Eightfold Path. With right view, you start to develop the four right effort to arise the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And then after that, the second right effort is to make sure that all this right thought, right speech, right action that you have developed, even your right livelihood or right way of living life that you have developed, you can refine upon it and perfect it so that it can become a living reality. It become a part of you. So this is how you cultivate virtue, wholesomeness, and all the appropriate right speech, right action, and right thought that will lead to the good life. So the first advice, we know we have to keep the precept. To keep the precept, you must develop mindfulness. You must have the mind that is ever mindful so that you can see clearly the mental intention behind your action, speech, and thought process. Otherwise, when the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion then arise already, you don't know how to apply the right effort to abandon them or prevent it from arising to developing some form of initial wisdom. So all these are in the teaching. That's why the four right effort are the initial practice. First right effort is to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has arisen. And to do that, you must also develop mindfulness to be aware of them, then understand what constitutes evil. That's why the Buddha in his teaching teach the three evil roots. These are evil roots, roots of all evil. When you arise them, they condition evil activity. Evil mind states. That brings about negativity or karma. So all these are the critical understanding of cultivation. Then once you have developed that mindfulness and the Dhamma understanding, you not only can be aware of it, you can cultivate the five way to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. And the five ways, the first two are thought-based, like we have gone through. First, the Buddha said, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Means whatever negativity of mind state that arise, like anger, hatred, or fear, worry, anxiety, think of the direct opposite wholesome thought. Because your mind can only do one thing at a time. When you have metta love, you cannot have anger inside there. Understand? That's why that one is thought-based, but as an initial practice or cultivation, it's useful. This is how you calm yourself down and develop the understanding to reverse all this negativity of mind state. So it's one of the way to abandon the wrong thought. Like when anger arise, think of loving kindness, think of compassion, radiate it out. Wish people, may all beings be well and happy. And that wholesome mind state will overcome that negative mind state. That's why when you reflect on the direct opposite wholesome thought, you develop the good mind state to overcome the unwholesome wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action mind state. And to do that, it's very easy. But this is still thought-based. So if you really want to live, like, you cannot be every time got problem, go back, sit quietly and radiate metta, radiate love, compassion, radiate all the good thought, the virtuous thought, the kind thought. But then, how can you live like? That's why that is only a preliminary exercise, or I should say skillful means to temporarily allow you to overcome the unwholesome mind state, to abandon that. That is also the reason why the four Brahma Vihara, they have been taught at the initial stage of the Buddhist teaching. That's why if you go to Sunday school, they will teach you how to develop the four Brahma Vihara state. First is metta bhavana, loving kindness, meditation. Then they teach you how to develop this beautiful loving kindness mind state that will actually create positive mind state for the cultivator so that you improve the consciousness of the planet and the world. Then after that, you cultivate karuna. From metta, you go to karuna. Karuna is a compassion type of quality mind state. When you have cruelty, the opposite of it is compassion. When you have compassion, you cannot harm, you cannot kill. You cannot take advantage of situation. Because that compassion will make you different. You will care for the animals, care for the weak, for the sick and other things. That is compassion. That's why cultivator of the way that has a lot of compassion. Their mind, when they see suffering, they understand why it's such. Because delusion, ignorance, that condition, all this. Then that compassionate mind will work its way around. And they already say. Then the third one is rejoicing. These are very good mind state to cultivate, to counter negativity. When you can rejoice, you overcome what? Envy and jealousy. Like somebody get promoted, somebody did well. You rejoice. Anasana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Or you say Amitabha, you rejoice. Instead of getting jealous, then develop the envy, the jealousy. The hatred and all say these are negative mind state that brings about negativity of karma. So metta, karuna, and sympathetic joy, or what they call mudita, mudita. The last one is upeka. Upeka means equanimity of mind. When you develop deep samadhi, or strong stability of mindfulness or awareness, your mind has become very calm, very peaceful, very tranquil, very still. During that time, there is this equanimity of mind, where this mind is neither happy or unhappy, pleasant or unpleasant. It just stay there, in the state of equanimity. And sometimes there is joy. But there is no anger, no hatred, nothing. It just stays there. But it does not get excited. It does not stir and react. It can stay in that state of equanimity. So equanimity or upeka got two ways of arising. One is energy field, samatha. You develop the conditioned mind to become peaceful, in the state of samatha, concentration, or one-pointedness, or absorption. The other one is born of wisdom. When there is wisdom, the mind can also be equanimous. Well, you will have the wisdom to accept things as they are, to see things as they are. Condition like that, things we learn that. Such a seeing. It cannot be otherwise. So all these are develop in the teaching. So developing this yoniso manasikara is very important. Then like I say, this one is not a knowledge. This one is a wisdom. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. You cannot try to use knowledge, accumulated memory, yeah, or that so-called Dhamma knowledge that you have read or pick up, that you try to apply. Cannot. Yeah, that one is from memory. And it's not spontaneous. This one is spontaneous. This one, where you have the wisdom, at the moment of sense experience, you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, or feel something, that wisdom straight away, spontaneously arises to prompt you. Then the Dhamma understanding will be there. Then you will not be deluded by it. You will not still react and do all the funny thing, or stupid thing, or deluded thing. So, Yoniso Manasikara is the purifying wisdom factor. This is the one that keep the mind in the state of balance, in the state of wise activity. That's why with right view, you develop right understanding. Without right view, you cannot develop wisdom. So, in cultivation, it's always like that. Once you have the mindfulness to see things as they are, to develop the understanding, then from there, you straighten your view. Once you straighten your view, means you have right view. When you have right view, you will have uniso manasikara. Your right view or right understanding is related to wisdom. So with this, now you understand why that unique code 111 is so powerful. So this unique code, I will read to you again so that you can develop the right understanding. Without yoniso manasikara or wisdom at the moment of sense experience, one will continue to immediately stir and react to sense experience, born of habitual tendency. So regarding habitual tendency, I think by now, you all should have much better understanding. If throughout the day, let's say, when you are living life, you have to confront sense experience. Every moment of life, you have to see, you have to hear, you have to smell, you have to taste, you have to take note if you are thinking, unless your senses are impaired. Otherwise, they will arise. And when they arise, what normally follows is we act based on what? Normal living being before they become enlightened, our actions are all based on almost 99.999% or almost 100% based on memory, which is based on our conditioning, our belief system, our views, our opinion, and our accumulated memories, which can be our phobia, our insecurity, our sorrow, lamentation, misery. And all this is how you stir your mind, react your mind. And if every moment of life, whenever the sense experience arrives, you stir your mind with like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense activity, then what will happen to you? Yeah? Because these are all what we call mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And these two are related to the first two mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will. That's why like and dislike is sensual desire and ill will. Pleasant and unpleasant is also sensual desire and ill will. So if every moment of sense experience when you live your daily life, you arise this, what will happen? It will become habitual, isn't it? It will make you always do that. That's why habitual tendency is a unique character that is very strong in the individual. And sometimes you can also see for yourself that almost every human being, they have their own character, and the way of reaction to sense experience and to what happened in life. And the worst is when you don't have the Dhamma, the obvious thing that happened to most human being is arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the unhappy mind state, the sorrow and the lamentation. Like today, I spoke to somebody who called me out for some advice. Well, he has this tendency of developing fear, phobia, and like panic attack and all those things. Whenever he go for medical checkup or blood test or what, then when the result come back, when the doctor or the specialist tell him something, you know what happened? Or he panic first one, he worry. Then he will call. He say, "You heard of this or how? This one, is it dangerous? Can it cause cancer?" Then sometimes the doctor go to the extent of say, "Maybe we have to do a biopsy to confirm whether that cancer cell is active or not." Malign. Is it, there is a word, malignant malignant, or not yet malignant. So all this, you can see, the fear, the anxiety, and all things. Then I reminded him, I say, "Remember what I used to tell you or not?" I say, "When you go through life, you don't do all this. Well, these are heedless people with foolish mind that doesn't have the understanding will react." I say, "Whatever happened in life, there are causes and conditions behind. The reality is already established. Thing is just the way it is. You have to accept it, then confront it, and develop the understanding to overcome it and move on. Means to resolve it amicably, means settle the issue." So I said, no amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation can help you. And this, I say, "How many times you want me to repeat all this?" Then, because he close to me, he said, "But you know lah, we all still human being, mundane. If they ask you to attend meditation class, you don't want. Ask you to attend Dhamma class, you don't want. When nothing happened to you, you go your own way. Then something happened, you call me again." I say, "How many times you want to do that?" Now it's, I think, the fourth time already. Then he said, "Okay, now I listen." So I start to explain to him. Then after so many rounds, only he go in. Oh, you say, yeah, I fear no use. Oh, I develop all this panic attack. Oh, no use, oh, is it?" Then he got a question. "Then how not to react like that?" I said, "Learn how to meditate. Oh, meditation. Very difficult." I said, "Where got difficult?" I said, "You know how to relax or not?" "Relax, I think can." And you know what I tell you? When you play badminton, I say, "After you play badminton, tired, how you relax?" "Oh," he said, "Don't play lah, rest lah." Then after that, the heartbeat all slow down, settle down. Then I have a good sleep, relax. Meditation also like that one. But the only difference in meditation, when you relax, heartbeat all slow down, don't sleep. Maintain awareness, be quiet, be still. And then I say, all the panic attack not there, the negative tendency not there. We have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. They are all wrong thought, the sound of negativity of mind state.
they can lower your immune system and cause you unnecessary mutation to your cells and develop all the chronic disease like cancer and all things. They are due to cell mutation, especially fear, stress, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, panic. All these are negativity of mind state. Then he slowly understand. Oh, he say, "Yeah, why so stupid?" Like that. And I say, "You remember last time the chanting tape I give to you? I asked you to listen at that time. You cannot understand all this. You only need something to help you calm down." I say, "When you listen with the Mahayana chanting, there is this faith in you, and then you feel peaceful, and your panic attack less." I say, "This is what cultivation is. You have to start from all this activity. That's why the puja, everything, the chanting, make you peaceful, calm, develop the faith, so that all your negativity of mind state, the negative tendency, can be reversed. Then through understanding, learn how to meditate, relax your body and mind. Then allow your mind to settle down, so that the habitual thinking, all those things, can be like lessened, so that it can bring about a deconditioning of all these habitual reactions, habitual stirring and negativity of thought process. Only through this, you can improve your life, change your life. Otherwise, you will continue to entangle." And I gave him a very good example, like car accident. Let's say you bought a new car. Your wife drive reverse back, or your children, new license, get accident. Come back, what you do? You sure get angry. You react and scold them and say, "Why so stupid? New car also don't know how to drive." But does it help? You actually create condition for fear to arise in them, no panic and all that. And this is what karmic is all about. In future, you will canal all this, not from your own parent. Of course, sometimes you got conditioned parent also taro you the same way you taro your children. But come from the doctor. So the doctor no need to scold you. Doctor one money. He said, "Wow, this one, blood test no good. I think you got a lot of problem." Then I think we got to do further tests. If it's confirmed, then you have to go for chemotherapy treatment and all those things. Then cholesterol. Then later on, they even recommend colonoscopy. Then a lot of this type of thing. That's why he starts to panic. He said, "I didn't know. Last time young don't have such thought on happy-go-lucky. Well, now I heard people here got problem, there got problem, everywhere got problem." So I said, "This is the reality of life and existence, the first noble truth reality." So Dhamma is related to life. If you want to understand life, you must understand Dhamma. So now, today's sharing is very good. What is the time now? Do we have still enough time? Oh, I have to summarize it. I have to finish up. Okay, so today at least we covered two. First is the unique code 101, right duties, right Dhamma. Then the second one is the importance of developing this yoniso manasikara, so that you will not become keyless. Because the moment you stir your mind, react to sense experience through habitual tendency, that is what heedless living is all about. That is what heedlessness is all about. And the heedless are as if they you don't stand a chance. That's why I cultivate this yoniso manasikara. We are the first turning wisdom, second turning wisdom, especially second turning, contemplate until very stable. Then meditate. Bhavana Mahaprajna, the turning wisdom. And all this will stabilize your wisdom. Yoniso Manasikara. And this is the what we call under Avijja Sutta, you remember? This one is step four. Then from here, step five is Sati Sampajana. So the initial wisdom is very important. You must have initial wisdom for you to develop the ability to have silent space between thought. Yeah, without this yoniso manasikara, what happens? You continue to react to life still and become affected by all the negative mind state or emotion that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why the entanglement happened here. The chaotic phenomenon, full of suffering, full of problem, full of very chronic and chaotic situation. That's why war, conflict, argument, misunderstanding, jealousy, hatred, all existent there. And the evil roots are very strong in the human mind. That's why we have that type of phenomenal world with that type of consciousness. And it is very difficult for living beings to survive inside such a chaotic phenomenal world unless you have clarity, the Dhamma, the awareness, to stay out of it, to have clarity, to understand all this. Then you see clearly the danger of being heedless. That's why you choose to be heedful. Then this unique code 111 and 112 become beautiful. Okay? So now we'll continue with our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. And also Dhamma sharing, Dhamma in daily life, and today's topic.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
Ah, good.
And all Kalamitas.
Yeah.
It's good to be back at the sharing session. Today's, I'll say,
topic,
topic about right duty.
It's right Dhamma.
Right Dhamma. It brings back, how to say, very sad memories of how I I conduct myself in my younger days, especially during my working career. At that time, I won't use the word stress as an excuse, but I think that's very much the reason. And why I decided to bring up this subject is recently my very old my neighbor, who is a very old lady, there was one day she suddenly called me and says, BG, please come here now. I sort of panicked because I thought something happened to her.
Oh.
So, yeah, so I went over and she cried in front of me and she says that nobody believed that I am sick. All my children think that I'm lying. How could they think of that of me? And I don't really know how to console her. Right, the first thing is she's a Christian. So I already refrain from saying
a lot. Buddhist thing.
So I try to reason with her that this is maybe because your son is very stressed and also part of his character.
Yeah.
You know, all sorts of things which I see as excuses for him.
Yeah.
And then it hits me that I myself reacted in the same way towards my mother. I am very, very sorry of how I treat my mother.
Yeah.
So this right duty is right Dharma hits me very hard. It shows that when you don't have the right
understanding
and understanding, we do a lot of very heedless, a lot of heedless things and
correct
very stupid things.
Yes,
which of course will ultimately affect our karma.
Definitely.
But that is besides the point. Like, it's already done.
Yeah.
We know that we've done it, So the best we can do is now ask for forgiveness and change our ways, whichever way I can.
Correct, yeah.
Due to the probably the long years of cultivation with Brother Teo's teaching, I find that my life has changed very much. And also, like recently, even though I may not have the Yoniso Manasika, it changed our way of thinking and life itself.
You become different, less reactive, and you understand life's reality, and you can have the ability to be at peace with whatever arises. You can be like more calm compared to previously, less negativity. All this is a sign that the initial wisdom has set in. Otherwise, you cannot change your way you look at life and look at things. So all this is very beautiful. Then just to add on to what PG mentioned just now, in fact, that right duty towards the law of karma is very deep. Like just now PG shared the neighbor, how the children do all those things. I want to elaborate on that. You see, the law of karma is you reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. We are born of karma, add to our karma conditions, supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So whatever you do in life, that is your karmic inheritance, good and bad, negative and positive. Then when the time comes for the karmic repercussion to set in, that is where suffering will arise. How you treat them in future, you become the victim. How they treat you back, that is the way the law is. And you cannot blame anybody. Why my children are there? Why they think I pretend and all those nonsense? Because you must understand, no, like PG said, they have their life, no, especially when they are young, they have their ideal, their career. They want a lot of things, Anasana. And they definitely felt, for no reason you call me, even mother. No? You call me, then go back, ask you how, oh, come back, you okay already. Then when we don't come back, you miss us, again you call, and tell her you sick, you want. And not to say they are right or they are wrong. That is what life is. Whatever they do, that is their karma. If you ignore your parents, you don't know how to do your duty. That's why the Sigalovada Sutta in the teaching, the Buddha mentioned, your duty as an individual can be a husband or a spouse. Your duty as a son, the duty as parent, they are all clearly defined. That's why you must do your duty towards them. Anasana. Towards them means they are part of the law of karma. Anasana. You reap what you sow. Whatever you do for them, you care for them, you love them, you sacrifice for them, then you do all the appropriate, beautiful, right thing for them. Then in future, you will be very blessed. You will have children who are very understanding, care for you, love you, willing to sacrifice for you, and they really do their part. That's why I said, in life, you look at reality, you will know. In fact, on the way here, PG also shared something that a lot of their children who went overseas and studied, they don't want to come back now. Because Malaysia, you know, very complicated country. Then a lot of people who has gone overseas, or those who haven't gone overseas also, they complain about here, then they prefer to go over. But when they go over, they encounter a new problem over there. Then they want to come back. So all this is what life and existence is, the reality. So like I said, not necessary, and that's not. Brother Teo Pamasri also sent their son to Germany, yeah? But finally he came back, so not a problem. Not everyone leave and doesn't want to come back. Sui also come back. So that's why you look at all this, it's all karma. How we develop all this, all through the life existence process that naturally unfold based on the law of karma. So right duty is right dhamma. You have to extend it to everybody, to your parents, your siblings, your friends, your neighbor, or even your colleague in the office, and also all of humanity as a whole. Because whenever you develop goodness of mind, wholesomeness of mind, you become a blessing to all, you help people, or those things. These are your karmic inheritance. In future, when you come, when you confront First Noble Truth reality, your nature will come back and help you, the karmic nature, the spiritual nature, and all those beautiful karmic support that you have given to people, to humanity, to living beings. They will appear and they will come and support you. So this is what right duty is, right dhamma, or is a very extensive understanding. If you do your duty well, means you treat people well, you treat the world well, you treat the community well, they will all reciprocate in accordance with this nature's law. That's why don't be deluded like those heedless people who don't have the Dhamma. Think selfishly. Why should I help? My mother got so many children. Why my brother don't want to help my sister? You complain that in future, you will get back from your children. Or your whoever who look after you or care for you. But this is what you did when you are living your life. So if you want to have the good life, you make sure you avoid all evil. That word is very powerful. No? Avoid all evil. No? Means no negativity towards anybody. No? Even to your own mother. Not only keeping the precept. No? Any negative action, speech or thought process that can actually instill fear or sadness or sorrow in them, that itself has its coming repercussion in the future. You have to understand the law of karma is like that. You reap what you sow. That's why have goodness, have kindness, develop more and more virtue, wholesomeness, then you will be fine. Take care of karma. Karma will take care of your life. And this word karma is a very wide scope. Not only your selfish intent of helping people who are close to you, or be kind to people who are close to you or related to you. In fact, to animals, to any living being, to society or whatever, you should try to avoid as far as possible, avoid all evil, no negativity. Don't try to cheat, don't try to deceive, and don't do all those things. That's why that wisdom behind that stanza, or not stanza, that heading, unique quote 101 is, right duty is right dhamma, is very deep. How to perform the right duty through understanding. Okay, PG, now you continue.
Okay, you just, your sentence just before that, let me give you a good example of that. My niece used to be very much like me, very impatient, and gets angry very fast. In the recent years, Bratio, she's such a changed person.
Sadhu.
Even I am surprised.
Yeah.
She is now so loving towards the mother.
Yeah.
It's because she has seen, I would say, what Dharma really is about.
Yeah.
And her character has totally changed. She is now so, how to So accepting of
Yeah,
karma.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Very much believe in karma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she can even go for the, what do you call that, three step one bow.
Wow, sadhu.
I know that the same as your Taiwan lineage, there's one temple in Penang, right? She goes to that one.
Yeah.
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 And how to say, her mind states and everything has changed.
Yeah. Transform.
Yeah, very transformed.
Well, once the conditions set fall back into place, they will inherit their past and they will change. That's why overnight, the cultivator of the way, the moment they understand, like the pump, flip over, you're already there. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. When Dhamma dawn upon the individual, it transforms them, because it's like, who told me, it's a medicine, no? Real medicine. No? I forgot which Kayamita told me. And he said, Dhamma really like medicine. No? Oh, it heal you. No? All this sorrow, lamentation, negativity of mind state that trigger all suffering, misery, all the wrong thought, that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, even insomnia and also depression. All this just gone. That's why it's real spiritual medication. And it's so much better than the so-called drug-related type of medication of the Western medical science. So all this is really, you can witness them. And the other thing about PG's niece is, I think also he has shared with us many of the stories when, yeah, PG was the one that looked after her. Because when the sister gave birth to her, I think she don't have time for the niece. So PG looked after her. Then when she grew up, she becomes successful. She treat PG so well. Every time go overseas trip, he will sponsor. Then
yeah,
buy new handphone. This is Tai San also his sponsor. That's why this is what Kamala is all about. When you develop all this understanding, then you have faith in the understanding of nature's law. That's why when you say she completely transformed in her way of outlook and do things, I'm not surprised. But you also changed a lot. Last time you also very hot tempered, and very ngangkeng, stubborn one, and because survival, PG used to share in her career, she need to behave like a top boy, very very strong, not only external, have to be strong, and cannot appear weak, especially for her small size. Lady, and she worked in a job market which is full of construction worker, and all these people, they are, you can say they are the industry bully. If you're not tough enough, they will bully you. So all this is the reality of life and existence that everybody go through. Then when you have the Dhamma, you look back, you understand, you see the beauty of the teaching, you reap what you sow, all this become like manifested, no? And very clearly seen by the cultivator of the way. Very good, Biji, continue.
You know, recently my sister has been going through a lot of problems and all this. And even at times I cannot tahan, I just, my niece will pander to her needs, talk to her nicely. You know, sometimes treat her like a grown up child, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like to her, the Dharma is really so clear that what you sow is going to be what you
correct. Yeah, you reap what you sow.
Yeah. And one good example is like when she sold her apartment, and the person already paid the, what you call it, the deposit. And apparently she cannot get the loan. So you as the seller, you have a right to
To forfeit, yeah.
quit the thing. But my niece says
Yeah,
no,
return.
return
Yeah.
to her
Sadhu.
because it's not good to
Yeah,
take
yeah, yeah, yeah.
this way.
Yeah.
And when she managed to get another buyer, she got even a better
Yeah,
price
better
for it.
price. That's why it's
So I
Sadhu.
think this reinforces her cultivation,
Yeah, her
her skill.
understanding of the law of karma, nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why you must have goodness of heart, kindness of heart, wisdom, understanding. Most important is yoniso manasikara, the Dhamma. Very good, Sadhu.
Manasikara, to me it's like nowadays we might how to say a bit of altered way of thinking and life. I find that things somehow the word synchronicity is
Yeah.
very clear.
Yes. Sadhu.
It's like when you want things to go a certain way, you think in a positive way, allow things to happen,
Yeah.
allow things to go its way.
Go on.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
Somehow it will work out.
Yeah, because your thought, your mental conditioning, that one is very important. When you have right thought, things will go your way. Then as long as there is faith, there is confidence, then that positive energy, that good mind state can condition the wholesome causes and conditions to arise. Well, this is all based on that nature's law of karma. It's just like you have them, the good condition to have the good life or become wholesome. The only thing is you need to set the condition for it to arise, understand not? That's why I always share with my own children, even my wife and my brothers there. Then sometimes do some kayanamita. Whatever happened in life, no matter how difficult the situation is, how bad the situation is, don't get angry, do not panic, and do not react. You remember? I always say, don't get angry, do not react, and do not panic. But once you arise this, these are negative tendencies that will condition negative karma to come up. But once you accept, you develop the wholesomeness of mind, be at peace, and no more negativity, then what happens? It set the base for the good karma conditioning to arise. Then the good karma will surface. It's just like sati take over, understand? Where you have pain or whatever when you meditate, if you don't react to that pain and call it pain or unpleasant sensation, then it become a mental hindrance. But if you accept that reality, be at peace with it, and just let the awareness or sati continue to stabilize, then sati take over. Then once the mind enters sati, there is no more negative mind state. That's why no more mental hindrance. Then this spiritual faculty take over and you develop the progress. It's similar. Karma also work like that. So what you mentioned is when you have that good positive mind state or you develop that thinking along that line, you realize that good thing unfold. That one only possible if you have the understanding and the good karma behind. Otherwise, whatever you do, you don't have It's just like those who use up their merits or good karmic conditioning, then like their bank account, no more already. Then no matter what good mind state you no use on. You have nothing come out, understand? You have use up. But whenever you create negativity or mind state, straight away all the accumulated negative karmic friction, they will surface. And they will hit out. Karma is like that one. Show it to you one. Very, very clear. Especially when you are on the path cultivating the Dhamma, when you are near to the awakening stage, it keep on showing it to you. And I remember in the year 1989, oh, it keep on manifesting, keep on showing it to you. And you can witness it. Like, how come it like that one? It will show it to you. The nature's law is like that one. Not for you to believe or to disbelieve. It's like in Hokkien, they say, Bu kalu bu siang si. Mtole msona. He ha kam chair. It's like that one. So all this is what the understanding will unfold for cultivator of the way. So, PJ, make a note of that.
Yeah, yeah. Brother, I'm very careful with that.
Yeah.
Actually, because I do understand what can happen.
Yeah.
That's why when nowadays also maybe it's the mind state when things happen, I may have an initial reaction, but nothing that how to say it?
It cannot become transgression. It cannot.
It
cannot come out. It may happen at the thought level for a while. That is our habitual tendency. It will stir for a while. But once the wisdom come out, the Yoniso Manasikara come out, then it will prompt you. What for? Thing is just the way it is. No point. And you are incapable of negativity. And this one, when it stabilized, finally one day you will come to know. It cannot react like last time. Right? The habitual movement also no more there. And then you know it's rooted out. It means the understanding has reached the stage where no more of this random of the habitual movement. Well, most of the cultivator, they need to go through that phase. Initially cannot stop. Then later on, it arises, then they aware, then they can slow it down or stop it completely. Then after a while, they develop more stability and understanding. Then when it becomes a part of them, then all this movement like completely rooted out without them knowing. Then they realize, hey, how come now different? Like last time, the I think the soup or what spilled on my wife. She was sitting next to me. I don't know whether coffee or soup or what. It didn't react. Normal people were very excited. Then I know, that's why I rejoice. So this is the understanding. Then no matter what happened, you become different or no? You can accept the reality. I remember I hit against a metal bar on my leg. It's really painful. Normal people were, oh, but no sound. I still laugh at it. But of course, here the tactile sensation is there. Then you just away, finish. Then after that, you know already this is coming. You have to pay back. Payback this way is better than falling down on the sound. You hit something, it's that instant, that severe knee jerk sensation. Then after that, it will slowly dissipate. So it's much better than have physical, what they call more severe type of accident. So all this understanding will unfold as you cultivate. Very good. Continue, PJ. You can summarize a few more minutes.
Radio, you see the recent, this trip that we are going, you know, I've been sick for so long, right?
Yes.
5 over months.
Yeah.
And I tell myself, you sure you can go? Then when I saw the temperature at the Wuhaisan, I go, Alama. You know?
Yeah.
So I tell myself, well, whatever will be, will be. You are to go.
Yeah. meant to be will be. Your
Going
fate is
not
there.
meant to be, you won't have the chance to.
Yeah.
So I just work on myself.
Yeah.
And also luckily, recently, Alicia recommended
DCM.
No, this one is Glenn Eagle, doctor.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to see
The
him.
doctor.
He did help with conventional medicine, which I'm still taking a bit of it. And hopefully everything goes well, Beratio.
Sadhu.
So I can get to go.
Yeah. Not a problem.
Inspiration to go and pay
my
respects.
Manjusri.
Manjusri, yes.
Bodhisattva.
So, I hope everything goes on well.
Oh, definitely.
You're able to enjoy this trip.
Yeah. That whole mountain there is full of that Manjusri nature's energy. Very strong. I was there about 10 years ago. 2014, if I'm not wrong. The energy there, I tell you, 20 kilometers before we reach Udaisana, I felt the nature's energy coming. That's why this trip we all go, right? A lot of things can happen when you have the affinity, the faith and understanding. It's meant to be, because I actually don't intend to go again. I've been there at least one or two times already. So, but because of the causes and conditions at that time, I somehow the nature tell me, if that is the case, you better go. You better leave. Then when I make the announcement to Pamasri, I think she was very happy. They all discussed with me early on actually. I said no, because I've been there before. Then later on I realized so many want to go now. Especially those who missed that first trip one. They also want to go, the new people also. Then my nature now is meant to be. That's why finally I consented. So it's all meant to be.
Yeah. Thank you, Bradil, for fulfilling all our aspirations.
Yeah. Sadhu.
That's all I want to share tonight.
Ah,
thank
very
you.
Good. Let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
So tonight's sharing is also very special. Listen to it and maybe develop some stability or understanding. But now we are going to understand the unique code in a deeper manner. Last time I just like share all this and I didn't have a chance to go into detail of this unique code. That's why I mentioned in the book to come, the coming latest book, Ultimate Enlightenment, is to develop this ultimate enlightenment or awakening. You need to have the cessation of form and mind to arise so that you can realize the unconditioned, so that you can transcend life, birth and death. So that book is very unique. So inside that book, I also mentioned a lot of people, when I was sharing all this unique code, hardly anybody knew it was a unique code. But Engby was the only Kayamita who had that very strong ability to perceive it, to know that these are very special codes. So she stored them all in her computer. Until when a lot of Kayamita asked me to compile it into a book, then only we sent out the news. Then AB straight away wrote to me, "But Theo, don't worry, I have them all." He sent to me all the 160 over codes. Then I went through it, I edited it. That's why it came out finally in the book form, straight from the heart. And I use the word unique Tamakobia. Because of the cause of language, I knew this book is going to come out, and it has to come out because that is the way it is. To understand the pure awareness nature, the supreme vehicle teaching unit or this code, this unique code points towards the cultivation, the understanding of the awareness nature and the deeper aspect of the Dhamma, and how to link all the cultivation together and how to understand all the manifestation that arise during cultivation and realization. That's why this is very unique. Then now that we have this Thursday class to go through one by one, until now is 112. You have gone through so many, and based on the last book that we wrote, that was unique code 97 and was it 100? I forgot already. Was it 100? 197, path to Nibbana, awakening via realization of cessation of form and mind. So all this is like slowly, slowly taking shape. Then the book to come, ultimate realization or enlightenment to transcend life. That book is the finale. We call it the finale, means the one that summarize everything that I have done almost the last 20 years. End of the year will be 20 years. And everything just fall into place. That's why you read through that, you will be amazed at what has happened and how all this can come into being and fall into place based on causes and conditions that has already been developed from the past, understanding and all those things. The causes and conditions behind are very beautiful and unique. Okay. With this, I think we end. Let us rejoice one more time.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay, we will share merits. Aka satta cya bhumata Deva naga mahitika Punyang tang anumoditwa Jiyang rakantu loka sasana Ita wata jamehi Sampadat punya sampadat Sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati sibiya Idang menya tina hotu Sukita montunya tayo Idang menya tina hotu Sukita montunya tayo Idang menya tina hotu Sukita montunya tayo Devo wasatu kalena Sasu sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Imina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo otu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.